Welcome to Spirit October 2023. Dear readers, horror movies aren't scary if you don't watch them. That's always been my October motto. But scares are one of the most enjoyable parts about the month of October. When the leaves fall, quickly changing vivid autumn's landscape to the murky, shivery, sunless home of October, there's something very fitting about scary stories. Outside, the sky is chillingly gloomy and the bare trees form dark and fearsome shapes. Probably for me, the scariest thing about October was a pumpkin I once carved. I attempted what I considered an effective, simple carving of the Mandalorian from Star Wars. I carved and carved, thinking I was putting together quite a startling work of modern art. "Wow, nice," said my family. "So what's that supposed to be?" Since they clearly did not see that the carving was the Mandalorian, I described my artistic process in detail. Unsurprisingly, my pumpkin was no one's favorite. I did not give up though. I brought a picture of it to my teacher at school. I knew that as a famed pumpkin carver and person well versed in Star Wars, he at least would appreciate my carving. Sadly, even he did not. Beauty is always in the eye of the beholder. This month and always, I encourage you to pursue your creativity. Do it for me. Love, Editor Janu. Editor Janu at thehappyherald.org. The quote for October 2023 is, "When the witches go riding and black cats are seen, the moon laughs and whispers. 'Tis near Halloween." My First Semester at College by Janu. Speaking of scary things, I'm already nearly halfway through my first semester of college. Life seems to be moving surreally fast, even as each day feels very long. I really miss the comfort of family and home, but I'm so grateful to have the chance to learn and grow in the incredible university setting. I really love my classes. There's a huge difference from the intimate, close-knit community of high school. I miss the classroom learning environment, especially because I'm someone who learns best when I ask many clarifying questions immediately. My teachers in high school really encouraged asking questions and I enjoyed being on close terms with them. Now, I'm one of 300 students in enormous lecture classes, but I don't like being unable to ask all my questions immediately and feeling like an anonymous member of the class. I love what we are learning. In my first semester, I'm taking neuroscience, chemistry, object-oriented programming, and a comparative religions class about South Asia. These classes aren't exactly predicated on textbooks. The professors set the pace for the courses. In neuro, the usual units are broken up by our studying diseases and disorders having to do with that facet of neuroscience. The first unit of chem was a deep dive into quantum mechanics. It's so cool to be able to learn these incredibly interesting topics. The workload, however, is as intense as it is fascinating. My computer science classes take me about 20 hours per project. I must study much harder for midterms in college than I studied for any test in high school. And I had to work hard in high school. It's just another level of difficulty in college. I do find myself easily stressed because it's difficult to navigate a whole new set of challenges. Each day of experience, however, makes it easier to know how to cope with the challenge, and I'm pretty excited about tackling the academic challenges this semester and the ones to come. Another aspect of being in college is the social one. Living, working, sleeping, and playing all in the same place is interesting. Despite my worries on the matter, making friends at college was a lot easier than I thought it would be. The only important thing is staying true to yourself. It was especially difficult in the first few weeks when I thought everyone seemed very comfortable on campus and that I was the only one struggling to adjust. This simply isn't the case. All freshmen have a bit of a hard time in the first weeks. Also, it was wonderful to have my family of friends and mentors rooting for me. I had some great conversations with people at home early on the semester, which helped me refocus my perspectives for the semester. Also, I was very inspired by one of my teachers, Mr. Boucher. Bush is always a very determined person, goal-oriented and very true to himself. He has a few quotes he always repeats about giving your best effort to any initiative and being authentic. I repeat these quotes to myself so often at school. I also leaned on my faith. Now I feel much more comfortable on campus and with friends all over. I'm still getting used to life as a college student. I've grown a lot, but there's still a long way to go. And I'm so excited that the journey is only just beginning. The Spider, a short story. It was a rainy October night, and I was on the way home from art school. The torrential rain pooled and ran by in rivers on the winding roads. It was too dark to see clearly how much water saturated the street, except in flashes by the headlights of a rare passing car. My mom was driving, and though my siblings and I were all together in the back seat, the van was silent. We were all too tired to talk. The faint crackle of the radio behind the music blended with the staccato raindrops into an eerie sort of melody. I began listening closely to the many sounds around me as I leaned closer to the window. The sky was dark, but still overcast with clouds. The drive from art class was usually a picturesque one, but it was long and dark at night. It was a little used, winding forest road with streetlights infrequent and set far apart. We had just reached a long, dark stretch of the road when it happened. I sensed a presence in the car next to me. It seemed to be hovering near the window. I leaned away silent, trying to discern shapes in the darkness. We finally reached another streetlight. In the glare of the light, I saw illuminated the outline of a huge spider. I screamed so loudly that my siblings woke up, and my mom almost swerved off the road. When the chaos subsided, I tried to find the spider, looking in every nook and cranny. It was nowhere to be found. The fruit of the month for October 2023 is apricots, more like apricots. Apricots are early ripening fruits, mostly cultivated in temperate regions around the world. In many ways, they are quite like plums. Apricots can be eaten fresh, dried, canned, or cooked. The fruit itself is smooth with a large pit that has a hard nut with a seed inside. Apricots typically run yellowish orange to bright orange. But what makes this fruit actually awesome? They have significant amounts of vitamins, flavonoids, potassium, and antioxidants. They are also very easy to incorporate in one's diet. They can be used in baking, poaching, salads, and even in salads. Apricots support healthy heart and healthy blood pressure. They have high water content, and consuming them is one good way to hydrate the skin. Have you heard the phrase, "So and so has the skin of a peach"? It should say skin of an apricot. Apricots has vitamin C and E that improves skin elasticity, reduce wrinkles, and protect skin from UV rays. They help promote good eye health as they are rich in vitamin E and carotenoids. Studies show that eating apricots can help reduce risk of macular degeneration and cataracts. The healthy fiber in apricots aid in better digestion. Dried apricots are rich in iron. What are your go-to apricot recipes? Let us know by email, editorjanu@thehappyherald.org. Here is a blog article on echo chambers. If you haven't seen Tim Urban's incredible TED Talk about procrastination, you've got to go see it immediately. It's the only acceptable way to procrastinate on your work because it's a literal paradigm shifter. And also just a really fun watch. Anyway, He presents some interesting ideas about the concept of an echo chamber. Political and ideological tribalism has become more and more prevalent over the last decade, though it's always existed to some extent. So why are echo chambers dangerous? And first of all, what does it even mean? You're in danger of being in an echo chamber environment when talking about how obviously correct shared code ideas are in a common activity for a group. Echo chambers get their name from the idea that you could shout something that should be debated, but instead it just gets echoed back to you. As Urban puts it, there is a direct relationship between agreement and decency in an echo chamber. The more a person agrees with a group, no matter how misguided the group's views are, the more decent that person appears to a group. An obviously unhealthy circumstance. I recall watching the presidential debates in the last 10 years and cringing at how very disrespectful it all seemed. When someone criticizes an idea that an echo chamber holds to be true, it's as if they are criticizing the core identity of the group. There's no room for productive discussion because there's almost a childish element of my way or highway to it all. Discourse and disagreement are critical to progress, which is why echo chambers are incredibly harmful. This is also why association matters a lot in who a person is. When much of one's time is spent with people who only echo your ideas, it's much harder to break out of a rut or think more creatively. Echo chamber style thinking is predicated on being right all the time. In a space like that, it feels morally wrong to disagree, which is why the same narrative gets shouted repeatedly. So what marks a better environment? What kind of environment would be better and more conducive to the productive conversation? Tim Urban calls this contrary mindset an idea lab, a place where disagreement and debate is as much a part of conversation as agreement and consensus. A healthy balance of the two are essential for growth in any context. In this idea lab space, disagreements are not only permissible but important for innovation. In an idea lab, people come up with ideas and fill up whiteboards with notes and plans before realizing there might be a hitch, erasing it all and starting anew. Hard work is a hallmark of an idea lab. It's easy to be in an echo chamber. No new research is required and little to no thought goes into figuring out how new pieces of news align with the usual echo chamber ideas. In an idea lab, a lot of research needs to happen to find out what solutions exist, what solutions are possible, if proposed ideas can even happen, and how if they can. Idea labs and echo chambers exist outside business schools and engineering departments. The concept is applicable to much more than actual innovation. When the echo chambers disappear from our town halls, congresses, and even from inside our homes, that's when we will see changes for the best. The athletics for October 2023 is a highlight on Max Verstappen, the unstoppable. Max Verstappen is a Dutch and Belgian professional racing driver, a defending Formula One world champion driving for the sensational Red Bull team under the Dutch flag. With his skill and supersonic speedster car, he is shattering all kinds of Formula One racing records and the hope of his rivals. Racing runs through Verstappen's genes, as Dutch father Jos Verstappen was a Formula One driver and Belgian mother Sophie Kampen competed in super quick karting. When he joined Toro Rosso racing team in 2015, Verstappen was the youngest Formula One driver ever at the age of 17 years. He competed in Formula One for more than a season before obtaining a road driving license on his 18th birthday. He became the Formula One's youngest point scorer and youngest race winner, 18 years and 228 days old. The intrepid driving style and energy that made him a blockbuster talent remain, and the victories kept coming. The real fireworks started when he earned his first World Drivers' Championship in 2021. Verstappen and defending world champion Lewis Hamilton were tied with points before the final race in Abu Dhabi GP. Verstappen trailed Hamilton by more than 10 seconds until a late safety car was called, erasing the lead. No one could slow his role in 2022, and he's again literally invincible in 2023. After winning 16 out of the 19 races so far and gained more points needed to defend his title for the second time in a row, he truly deserved the title, the Unstoppable. Jot Thoughts Reviews, the critique on literature and more, covers McFarlane, USA for October 2023. Welcome to the latest installment of reviewing movies that everyone's definitely already seen by now, but that we see and absolutely love without recognizing that we are months, if not years, too late for. Spirit's well-beloved review column is back. This time, it's yet another popular sports movie. McFarlane, USA is all about running. Running from one's problems, like the initially grouchy coach Jim White, or running past every competitor on the coast, like the McFarlane High School cross-country regents who tear up the turf. It's a beautiful story of empowerment and one I needed to see during my first weekend home from college. So, it's a typical story because it's about a team that starts off not so good and gets much better. The thing that sets this movie apart is that there is a true and moving story behind it. Pictured here are the real Victor, Thomas, and DiMaggio of McFarland, USA. Three of the boys who uplifted an entire community. It's emotional to see the boys as farm pickers before they run to school. It's moving to see the whole town hold their heads high because they are that proud of their boys. It makes you want to go for a run. One person can uplift many lives. It's a wonderful reminder to have. Stereochemistry, a short story. Dr. Wilton sighed deeply. Jean, I won't tell you again. You need to start putting more thought into your future. This can't go on. I'm sure you'll tell me again, Jean replied sourly. Dr. Wilton stood up. His usually neat gray hair stuck in numerous directions and his expression was weary. I simply don't understand why you're failing science classes. I remember our first meeting. Out of all the advisees I ever had, you were probably the most enthusiastic, so determined to be an excellent chemist. Jean shrugged. Dr. Wilton arranged some papers on his desk. The world is your oyster, he said sadly. There's so much in the field to love. I mean, thermodynamics, biochemistry, quantum mechanics, stereochemistry, chemical engineering. Jean froze in the act of pouring out the cup of paper clips on his desk. What was that? Dr. Wilton brightened. I knew you weren't a lost cause. Chemical engineering? Jean ignored the first statement. No, before that. Stereochemistry, Dr. Wilton repeated. Jean looked thoughtful. She visited the chemistry lab that afternoon, sure that it would still be there. It was. A furry blue monster settled comfortably at her desk, which no one else could see, hear, or acknowledge. Every class she found it occupying her desk and fume hood. Jean had tried to thwart it, arriving to class early to try to get there first, and arriving late in case it gave up and left. Nothing worked. The monster spilled her solutions and burnt her papers and broke her watch glasses and beakers. It was harmless otherwise, but she knew she could no longer tolerate its butchery of chemistry. She'd compile a list of information about the monster, listing everything she knew about it. It was benign except for chemistry, which was also her weakest subject. She'd always been a bit scared of chemistry. The monster was least difficult when they were studying something she was comfortable with. The harder topics were completely controlled by the monster. It seemed almost to disappear when the class was interesting to her. The problem was that the class was hardly interesting at all. But stereochemistry? She woke up early the following morning. Instead of her usual bag, she lugged a tremendous home stereo system. Taking no notice of Dr. Wilson's alarmed expression, she dropped into her seat and turned to face the monster. It was gone. Dr. Wilson was right. All she needed was a bit of confidence. Dr. Wilson cleared his throat. "Today, we'll discuss stereochemistry." He gave Jean a pointed look. "The study of 3D organic molecules." October 2023 fine arts section includes a beautiful sunrise or a sunset, the inside of a chapel, and a brown building. Are you an artist, poet, photographer, or a writer? Send us your artwork, composition, photography, etc. to see it featured in a future edition of Spirit. Email editor Janur at thehappyherald.org with inquiries. Wellness Central. How to have a healthy head of hair. An alliterative article. With the stress of the academic and fiscal year piling on, there's little wonder that everyone's shedding more hair than usual. But what are some ways to reduce the shedding and have thicker hair? According to dermatologists at the Cleveland Clinic, application of antioxidants on the scalp might do the trick. In a study testing functional antioxidant application on the scalp of men and women, researchers found in a study that participants lost less hair when using hair washes with niacinamide, zinc carbonate, caffeine, and other functional groups than when using a placebo ordinary shampoo. Other ways of improving hair thickness? Olive oil massage. Oil has long been used in Indian and Ayurvedic medicine to promote thick hair. Olive oil in particular is rich in omega-3. Heat oil to body temperature and massage it into the hair before washing it off after half an hour, according to Medical News Today. Proteins. Incorporating protein-heavy foods into the diet can promote hair health. Greek yogurt and nuts, walnuts, almonds, etc. are two good options. Aloe. Aloe gel is a hair treatment that may promote overall scalp health and hair thickness, according to Medical News Today. Ask Clever Kali. Send your questions to editorjanu@gmail.com. Dear Clever Kali, is there any relation between plasticity and audition? I've heard there are new advances and studies that highlight this connection. What is it, if there is one at all? Nervous system. Dear nervous system, great question. First of all, what is plasticity? Neuroplasticity is the brain's ability to shift and react to distress. Essentially, its ability to form new synaptic connections. These connections are incredibly important. The networks in the brain are relevant for several reasons, from forming memories to movement. Plasticity is critical for audition, hearing. It's well known now that plasticity shapes the brain's ability to encode sound and perceive sound. New inputs affect existing networks. There's a host of research on this topic. According to a 2023 University of South Florida study, in response to auditory loss, the auditory system adapts. Researchers call this adaptation homeostatic plasticity. To simulate loss, participants in the study wore earplugs and as a result induced homeostatic plasticity in their auditory cortices. It's a fascinating question and it's continuing to be explored. Scientists believe that the opportunity to research plasticity could displace immobilizing pharmaceuticals. Formally, scientists believe that the mature brain is not plastic. The discovery that it is can have incredible implications on the future of health. Sincerely, Clever Kali. Random Funnies. A Spirit cartoon by Thambu. Net worth. Stop! comes a little kid to another that is holding some dollar bills. "Are you mad, man? Why would you eat a sandwich of dollar bills?" "Why, of course, to increase my net worth." First night, or fright night. "I'm going to practice caring in this mirror. Dressed up as a monster, someone goes and stands before the mirror, but there's a smiley monster reflection. Boo! Ha!" says the dressed up monster. "Boo!" cries the mirror reflection. And you can see the other monster running away. Ah! And there's a pro-level ding-dong ditch. A kid hiding behind a bush, aiming at the doorbell by throwing a slingshot rock. Thank you for listening. The October 2023 edition of The Spirit Magazine.